convention and have been praying that the Lord would bless it and that those that wanted to come would be allowed an opportunity to travel safely, and we're really excited about having all of you here. And we're especially pleased to have Brother and Sister Brown with us and look forward to his service, which will be on Psalms 40. Psalms 40. Brother Bert.
Thank you, Beth, for your... Well, Sister Nancy and I are very pleased to be able to be at Sacramento again this year. We look forward to this for some time, as we look forward to being with the brethren wherever they meet. And particularly now, as we are met together at this end of the age when some are not able to meet together as they would like to, small classes. But we're just a little flock anyway. There are not many of the Lord's people left this side of the veil. We might count them in several of the thousands or whatever, but that's a small group compared to the world of mankind. And we look forward to the kingdom and its blessings and the share that we will have with our Lord if we're found faithful in this dispensing of the blessings of the kingdom to the world. And I notice that, and you will notice on your program, that the theme song of the convention is what? I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. That's a wonderful song. It's one of the songs that David sang in the 40th Psalm. David was speaking, I think perhaps for himself, but then he was lifted up by the Holy Spirit to speak of someone that was even greater than he. And remember, it was the one who was the greater than David, our Lord Jesus. And I think that much of this psalm is prophetic of our Lord, and it's interesting that we often just apply these words to ourselves, which would be appropriate, because he is our elder brother. And we are his followers, and so it isn't inappropriate that we do use these words and applying them to ourselves. But David, reading into this psalm, we see it was a wonderful psalm of our Lord. And we know that he was referring to our Lord because of this eighth verse that is quoted on your program. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And remember when this was said. It was said at the time of our Lord's baptism, wasn't it? When he came to John at Jordan, and he delighted to do the Heavenly Father's will, and to show his desire, remember, he was immersed by John there in the River Jordan. Yes, he delighted to do the Lord's will from the very beginning, and that's why he left his heavenly home. Because he wanted to do his Father's will. And so this psalm is one to glorify the Heavenly Father, even as we desire to glorify the Heavenly Father. And it's one that he wanted to do. And as we follow in his footsteps, we can apply these lessons to ourselves also. And so the sweet singer of Israel, David, said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear or reverence and shall trust in Jehovah. You notice that that's all in uppercase letter. Trust in God. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And then we'll probably conclude our lesson with the next verse. Because it was this verse that he delighted to do all the days of his life. When he says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Yes, this was a song of personal thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. We think that in these first three verses, it is just that, and then it's followed in the fourth and the fifth verses by a general declaration of God's goodness to the saints. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And how much patience our Lord Jesus had. Patient in all things, through the agony that he went through, through the trial of being scourged, smitten, spat upon, having a crown of thorns placed upon his head. Yes, he was patient, patiently waiting. All the trial and the mockings, and throughout all of this, he waited. There was no wrath, no malice, no murmuring. He heard. He heard from the voice of his Heavenly Father. He knew that he had been found faithful in carrying out his covenant of sacrifice. He had been patiently doing this for 3.5 years. Yes. And he says, and he, that's the Heavenly Father, inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. And isn't that our experience also? He hears us in our difficult experiences, in our trials, in our sorrows. And he inclines unto us. He hears our cry. And with this, we can realize that none of us wait in vain. The Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of. Sometimes we think maybe he doesn't hear. It takes a long time to receive the answer. But he knows. He hears. And as he knows our frame, he remembers that we're but dust. And as we go through these various experiences, he does hear. Because, as the Apostle Paul tells us in Hebrews, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, of all of our experiences, whatever they may be. Yes, and it's up to us to wait patiently also. until our change comes. Patience is a virtue. Remember, there's a text in Habakkuk. Though the vision tarry, seems to tarry, wait for it. Be patient. It will not tarry. Sometimes we think it's going to take an awful long time. But you know, insofar as our lifetime is concerned, it's only, well, we read in the scriptures that like a drop in the bucket. A short period of time. Oh, the world and going through these experiences for the last 6,000 years, sin and death, sounds like a long time. But for each of us, it's only our lifetime, which sometimes can be way up to 96, 97, 100 or so. But it's still only our lifetime. Remember the Stephen, it was only 6 months. But he hears. And he hears our cry. Wonderful thought. But then David goes on to say prophetically, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. And what a pit it has been in. And I think that this perhaps is a prophecy of our Lord's resurrection. This word pit is a translated dungeon in other places. Our Lord was in this pit of death. He was in hell for how many days? Parts of 3 days. But he was brought up out of the pit and out of the miry clay. But while we can have been in the pit and in the miry clay ourselves, miry clay, you're slipping and sliding around, wondering whether you're ever going to get out or not. But he says he's brought us up out of the pit. And because we have been brought up out of this pit, remember what the Apostle Paul tells us, we have been delivered. We have come into this relationship with the Heavenly Father, and there is therefore now no condemnation to those who have come out of the pit. Pit of despair, perhaps, for some. But yet, he has established his going. And he set my feet upon a rock. Our Lord, when he was brought up out of the rock, out of this horrible pit, miry clay, the Redeemer's work was done. There was no more for him to do. And we have had our feet set upon a rock. I like this Psalms 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Another wonderful promise. Something that we can rely upon. And Paul tells us, remember in Corinthians, and that rock was Christ. And as we have been set upon the rock, he goes on to tell us, and he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. A new song. What a song it is. Our Lord had a wonderful song to sing, didn't he? He sang the song of restitution, of salvation for all mankind, that eventually all will come back into harmony with the Creator and know him as the everlasting God. Yes, and what a song it is. It's not like the song that they sang when Israel was delivered from from Egypt. And that was a wonderful song they sang too. It's in Exodus the 15th chapter and first verse. Remember, they had crossed the Red Sea, and all the host of Pharaoh, his army and his horsemen, were all cast into the sea. And then the children, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. It was the Lord that delivered them. Oh, it was through the hand of Moses with that dry stick. It was only a dry stick that Moses had. It was the one that he had carried about. Remember when he was delivering the children, when he went up to Pharaoh and had those 10 plagues. One of them, remember, he cast his rod down and became a serpent. Same old dead stick. But the Lord used Moses with that stick to deliver the children of Israel. And they sang a song of praise to him. And our Lord says that he had put a new song in his mouth, and maketh even praise unto our God. It wasn't only his God, the Heavenly Father. He was our God, speaking to the saints, to you and me. Yes, he has put this song in our Lord's mouth. He put it into our mouth. And we are to do something with that song. What do we do with it? We proclaim the good news of the kingdom, the gospel. And that's what the kingdom's all about, isn't it? The good news of the kingdom for the world of mankind. When they shall return, all of them, from death. They're all dead now, aren't they? In trespasses and sins. But they will be restored in the next age. There will be no more sore in their sighing, neither shall there be any more pain, no more death, for these former things will have passed away. That's the song that we sing today. Yes, it's a new song. Praise be to God. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And our Lord Jesus trusted the Heavenly Father all the days of his life. And as he did, he remembered the promises and the prophecies that were his, and he relied on those, and he made them his own. Do we make these promises and promises our own? Do we apply them to ourselves? They belong to us. They've been given to us. Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Blessed is the man. We're sitting not in the seat of the scornful, but we're sitting at the foot of our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're here today for, and for the next several days, and for all the times that we meet together. Yes, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be to bless. And we are blessed. And his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff blows away, is being blown away by the wind, isn't it? And there's some chaff that we see even today that's being blown away. Whenever the wind blows, I've heard it say that there's always some apples that fall out of the tree. And some of the apples are falling. Right? But he says, they will not be blessed of the Lord. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the godly shall perish. Ungodly shall perish. Yes, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. And making the Lord our trust, what must we do? Can we be blown about by every wind of doctrine? Some are being blown about by these winds, and the chaff, and like chaff, are blown away. What must we do to not be blown away? Have a sure word of prophecy, holding fast to the word of truth. Having as thus saith the Lord for the things that we believe. Well, we can all have different opinions on some things, but let us have a scripture for the things that we believe. And thus saith the Lord. Be strong, built up. We talk about being built up in the most holy faith. It's learning the truths of the doctrine. Some don't think that doctrine is very important anymore. It's just a matter of love. Love is important. Love is the fulfilling of the law. But why are we together? It's because of our belief in the doctrine. It's because we have been separated from, well, the psalmist says, the ungodly. Those who do not put their trust in the Lord. Yes, so we wait not in vain, and we hear and we sing this new song. This word blessed is an exclamation, and it's similar to these thoughts that David has given us in this first psalm. And then he goes on to say, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. We know what his wonderful works are. There are many, many things, and he says they're too great to be numbered. We think of creation itself. Remember some of the thoughts that Job tells us? Who puts wisdom in your mind, in our inner thoughts? Who does that? It's the Heavenly Father. Yes, and one of the other things that are wonderful works is the divine plan of the ages. That's a work. Anybody ever draw a set of plans and they know that it takes some mental thought to put it down on paper, work it all out so that all the pieces fit together. And the Heavenly Father has done just the same thing with his plan of the ages. And that plan of the ages was for the development of the world of mankind and this new creation. Another one of these works was this work of atonement. We might say it's the plan of the ages of blessing all the families of the earth, but first there needed to be atonement. And we all have studied the wonderful atonement day sacrifices and how that these things brought the nation of Israel back into harmony with God for the ensuing year. That was only typically. Now it is also being performed in the antitype. And you and I have a share in that work of atonement. And in this we see his providential overruling in all our lives. And he says, these things, we haven't even mentioned, there's so many. He says that they cannot be numbered. The Lord is referred to then. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine ear thou hast opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast not required. The Lord saw nothing in these, nothing satisfactory in these various offerings of the ceremonial law. Well, typically they had their worth, but when Jesus came, remember, they all ceased to be of any value. They were only pictures. And as pictures, Jesus fulfilled these things. Not only our Lord, but he has granted us a share in that also. Remember, he says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Remember, there was somebody that wanted to offer all the thousands of rams and all. That wasn't really what the Lord wanted. He said, to obey is better than sacrifice. And that's what he asked of us. To obey is better than sacrifice. Yeah. Thou hast opened these mine eyes, thou hast opened. That was an interesting thought to me too. The word open really means they put a ring in their ear, you might say, as a slave. And it showed that the one who had this ear ring, he says, mine ears thou hast opened. Another word is digged or bored through. He did that with slaves to show that the slave was owned by someone. We're owned to the Lord. We are his children. He has opened our ears. Yes? And as he has opened our ears, we have become slaves, servants, sons of God. More than just servants. Remember, there was a household of servants, there's a household of sons. But in the case of our Lord, he was the Son of God, and we are his children. Remember what he tells the disciples? He says, one is your master, even Christ. What's the rest of that? And all ye are brethren. We're all brethren. We're all in the anointed. We're all in Christ. And then said our Lord, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. Lo, I come. Jesus saw the necessity of atonement. And seeing this, he left his heavenly home, freely offering himself. As the Apostle Paul quotes this same text in Hebrews 10:17. And so we realize that this psalm is really talking about our Lord. Paul is referring to our Lord in this scripture, in the volume of the book. And what was the volume of the book? This book that was spoken of speaks not only about Christ and his accomplishing the will of God. Not only as the seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head, but also the seed which is to bless all the families of the earth. But also the will of God was that in sacrificing, laying down his life as a sacrifice holy and acceptable unto the Heavenly Father. You have to remember the Apostle Paul said he took away the first, the old first sacrifices of bulls and goats, that he might establish the second. And of course, we realize that we have a share in that second work of atonement. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, in the 14th verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, speaking here of the Jew and the Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the old law covenant. And he came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. Yes, he was the fulfillment of that law. And in the fulfillment of that law, he closed with the solemn declaration that there was no other name under heaven where we can be saved but by Jesus Christ. And through him, we have deliverance. We have redemption, and we have deliverance in his blood. And we're sanctified unto God through the sacrificial offering of his only begotten Son. Yes, he delighted to do the Heavenly Father's will. We delight to do the Heavenly Father's will. And how is that shown by you, by me? It's by the desiring to do the Heavenly Father's will, of consecration, of laying down our lives in sacrifice day by day. Thy law is within my heart. And what was his law? Was it the law of the old covenant? It was the law of God. And what is the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and strength. That's the true law of God. But it encompasses the whole plan. We can go through all of that. But realizing that he has brought us through to this point of laying down our lives, we endeavor to be faithful in carrying out these covenants of sacrifice. And that's why we also say, in the words of the theme text, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. And he said, finally, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. That's a wonderful statement. The words that he spoke were not his, but they were the words of his Father. What words do we speak? As thus saith the Lord. The words of our Father. And as we speak these words, we proclaim together, preaching what? Preaching righteousness where? In the whole world of mankind. It's a great congregation. We have a small congregation, but our Lord preached this gospel to the whole world of mankind, endeavoring to draw out a people for his name. And so it is that, remember, he said in quoting from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, Luke in the 4th chapter, says he was anointed to preach. Preach the gospel to the poor. Preach the gospel to the brokenhearted. To those who are asleep in death. And so it's a wonderful privilege that we have of preaching this gospel of the kingdom. And as we do this day by day, we can't do it by ourselves individually. How many of us could do anything really to the world of mankind? Oh, we put out a few tracts, booklets. But it's working together in harmony with one or the other in the body of the anointed. If any man be in the anointed, he is a new creation. And we're all part of the same body. And Paul tells us, I can't say that I have no need of you or you have no need of me. No, we have need one of the other to preach this righteousness in the great congregation. And here we like to mention the brethren in New Jersey. The Dawn. Small group, not many there. But what can they do? It's because we're all working together. Some are opposed to the Dawn. I don't know why. But who is the Dawn? It's not just those few brethren back there. It's those who are working together to preach righteousness in this great congregation. Back there in the days of our Lord, well, he was the only one that was really doing much at that moment, wasn't he? Until the apostles came along, and they were sent out two by two to preach righteousness in the great congregation. The Christians, a small group back there in Jerusalem. Weren't in New Jersey at that time, in Jerusalem. But they were doing the work that the Lord had for them to do. It was a wonderful work. And if they didn't do it, the very stones would cry out. And that's our commission also, to preach the gospel in the great congregation. And then, finally, we see that he says, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth. Yes, these have not been hid. We realize his faithfulness, and we too desire to be faithful. And as we are endeavoring to proclaim this wonderful gospel of the kingdom, may we each be found faithful in the carrying out of our covenant of sacrifice, so that when we do come to the end of our course, we will be glad to hear those words, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown, the crowning life. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." And may our Heavenly Father bless us all during these next several days of convention as we endeavor to delight to do His will, for His law is within our hearts. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Burton, on those thoughts on the 40th Psalm. We should all delight to do thy Father's will. And I always appreciate, and I know we appreciate the consideration of our privilege to preach the gospel, and especially our privilege to do that together as individual classes and as part of that body of Christ. And we appreciate your thoughts. Before we have our closing hymn and prayer, some announcements.
For the gift of thine only begotten Son on our behalf, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of the whole world of mankind. We thank thee also for the privilege that we have of coming to thee and calling thee our Heavenly Father. We pray that as we wait before thee, we pray that we may be found faithful in doing those things that are acceptable to thee, for we do delight to do thy will. We pray that thou wilt continue with us